I'm gonna get a jack here.
Okay. So if turn Rabbeinu say whatever mouth you have, turn to the Seder Avodah Musa. So we're going to go to Amitz Koach. Amitz Koach is the Musaf that said most of the time in shuls that have in Ashkenaz, Musaf Ashkenaz. There's another Musaf that begins with the Atta Konanta, which is considered Musaf Sfard. There are those who say Atta Konanta even if you have in Ashkenaz, because the truth is that Atta Konanta is a lot easier to follow. Who in their shul says Atta Konanta? That's it.
I have Masa.
You don't have? Do you have a Mitzvah there too? You don't. Okay, so maybe grab someone else's Masa to look on with. That doesn't have a Mitzvah at all. Just we should really recognize how central this is to Yom Kippur. So maybe like this, if you have a mouser and somebody needs to look on with you, so shift around the seats so that everybody can have access to a mouser. We're going to go to the mouser inside. So again, maybe change seats a little bit, use the chairs so that everybody has a chance to look in. There's a concept called Nesham of Harm Svaseinu. In other words, when we speak about Kabanos, it has a certain kiyum, as if you would be offering Kabanos. Every time we daven Musaf, that's a kiyum unsham parms vaseinu. When we say Kabanos in the morning, those of us who say it, at least Karban Tamid, so there's ki'ilu, because he Rasim that said right afterwards, ki'ilu that we mark of Karban Tamid. This is a concept that's very, very much a real concept. It's mentioned in the Gemara. We don't have Karbanos, but the next best thing is that we can recite the Seder Avodah. Certainly the Yom of Yom Kippur, Yom HaKadosh, where Karbanos was so central, Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and so intricate and so detailed, and Kohen Gadol and his role. So we don't have it, but yet we have introduced in our Seder Avodah Musaf, we have an opportunity to relate to this incredible idea. So it behooves us, all of us, you know, in preparation for Yom Kippur, besides, of course, the regular preparation in terms of coming into Yom Kippur with a certain sense of tshuva, spirit of tshuva, but if we're going to spend time in shul reciting the Avodah, we have to at least be familiar, first of all, with the Seder Avodah, very basic way, and at the same time, be aware of how we recite it in the shul. There have been many Seder Avodas over the centuries, many that have been written. We're going back to the time of the Gaonim. But the two, as we have here in the Mazda, the two that are most well known are one of Atta Konanta and one Amitz Koach. Atta Konanta is cited by the Rishonim, and it could even have been written, I think the Beis Yosef says this, by one of the Kohanim Gedolim in the Beis HaMikdash. At how far back it goes. I saw someone says that maybe that was a different Atta Konanta, maybe not this one. It's not so clear. Certainly some Rishonim took this to be the one that was composed by Yossi Ben Yossi, the Kohen Gadol. It so happens that Rav Salvechik, the Rav, preferred Atta Konanta because he felt that this is very clear. It's easier to follow. And also there are some issues in terms of how the piyut with the halacha in the other one, Amitz Koach. However, the one that we'll learn, which is again the one that's said mostly in Nusach Ashkenaz shuls, is Amitz Koach. Amitz Koach was written by one of the Rishonim, really early Rishonim, talking about the 10th century into the 11th century. His name was Rav Meshulam, Rav Konimus, and he's actually the one that has written most of the piyut for Shachris of Yom Kippur. Most of the piyutim, Shachris Yom Kippur, were by this Rav Meshulam, Rav Konimus. And if you look at Amitz Koach and the way it's ranged, you can see after you finish the Aleph Beis acrostic, you have a lot of letters, for each of the letters, a lot of stanzas, sentences. And after you get through the Tav, then you see his name. If you take a look, flash ahead for a second. So after the Tav, right? Tochaltam kitzinas shelet biyom katsir. Then starts the mem. Mitzawasam ruchatsu. Mitenef sachanasam zaku. This is very classic piyut. Shreimim tzimimim barkamim bezuch zachu. So anyway, that, so you have the mem and you have the shin right there. Mitzawasam is the mem. Then shreimim is the shin. Lahagid is the lamed. Mikve Yisrael is the mem. That's Meshulam. And if you go follow through, you see the Rebbe Klonimus. And then probably Chazak. Yeah, Chazak. So you have his name at the end. Okay. The Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim, again, it's important in terms of getting a feel for it, it's important to look in the Mishnayos and Yuma. Again, if you have an opportunity to do that. I happen to have here one particular edition I picked up a few years ago, I don't remember where they actually have nice pictures as well. This is the Kahati edition with pictures, and also has the Rambam at the end, Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, in the back, all in one volume. But anyway, any Mishnayos would suffice, but it's nice if you have the pictures, it makes it a little more real. Obviously, you know, to learn this properly can be a year of learning. You know, you have sugyas, you have Rishonim, you have Lamdas. There is a wonderful sefer, just to the extent that you want to be involved in and take time out to really learn and beat you. And there's an amazing sefer called Seide Yuma, came out a number of years ago, it's going to be printed. Absolutely amazing, just in terms of how it's laid out. You know, really bringing everything down and collecting it in an organized way. It's really a valuable sefer. I think it was up in Eretz Yisrael last year. Actually, it was in Eretz Yisrael last year, being Kippur. And I got it. I'm sure you can get it here as well. I haven't seen it here for a while in Sfarim Stores, so I did pick it up. This is to the extent that you really want to learn this B'iyun, but at the very least, to have an appreciation on a very basic level. You have to start with Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur, because everything starts with the Psukim, and then you have Mishnayos and the interpretations of the Psukim. So if you have the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur, you recognize that there are kabbanos, special kabbanos to be brought on Yom Kippur. The Torah describes here as par ben bachar l'chatas va'ayu l'ola. That's Aaron's karban. Aaron had a par, that's his own par, and he had an ayu l'ola, that's his karban. And then it says further in the pasuk, Me'es adas b'nei Yisrael yikach shnei siri yizim l'chatas va'ayu l'achad l'ola. Klal Yisrael had to bring two se'irim. Those two se'irim, of course, had a lottery drawn on them. One went Lashem, that was offered at the Sar Lashem, that was also sprinkled all the way inside, just as the par was, as we'll see soon. And the Sar Lazazel. And also Ayelechad L'Ola. So at this point, we've identified four karbanos that are actually brought inside, and one Lazazel, right? The par Chatas of Aaron and Ayel of Aaron, and the Soyer Lashem and Ayel Ola. Now, there's also, the Torah describes that what do you do the Hikrivan is Parachat Shelo. What does that mean? Does it mean he actually was Shochet the Par? No, because it says it again a few Psukim later. So he couldn't have actually Shechted it yet. The Hikriv doesn't mean he offered it. Rather, this is interpreted to mean, what did he do? He did Vidui. And it says V'chiper Ba'ado V'ad Beso. So that means that he said vidui for him and his family. That's the meaning of the pasuk. After doing the vidui on the par, his par, then it says that you take the two se'irim and you do a lottery. V'nasanah shneisim gorolos. And then it says, v'hikrivaron es asar she'olah v'gor l'ashem v'yasol chatas. That means again, he declared it to be a chatas. And the other sawyer is going to be Yamat Chai, to be thrown down the cliff. The pasuk goes back to the par. The next pasuk, V'hikrivan es parachat v'shelo, v'chiper bado v'ad beso. So what's the difference? Again, another vidui, right? So this is not just his own house, it's all the Kohanim. We'll see, when we see the Nusach Avoda, we'll see that this vidui is more expansive than the first. So it's a second time of vidui on the par, and then finally he shechts the par. That's the pasuk here, v'shechet es parachat es shelo. Then what's happening? After the the palace shechted, the blood is not yet being sprinkled anywhere. Someone's going to be there making sure the blood doesn't get hard. What's the next thing that the Kohen Gadol does? The pasuk says he takes special Torahs. We know that Torahs is brought every day. Torahs Shel Shachris, Torahs Ben Arba'im. But there was a special Torahs brought on Yom Kippur, and that was brought Lefnai V'Lefnim into Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it has special halachos. It was Daka Min HaDaka. That's why it says Daka here, more than usual. And it describes that he would take it and bring it inside, and it would completely fill the room. We know that Siddukim had a different way of interpreting the Psukim. They said that you have to first create the cloud and the smoke before you go in, and that's not the way we understand the Pasuk. We understand the Pasuk that it's only inside that he puts the Torahs on the coals. That's why, as we'll see in the Mishnayos and Yuma, in the Piyut, they had to make the Kohen Gadol take a Shavua, that he would do it the way that we understand it to be done, not the way Tzedukim interpreted. Anyway, that's the first time he entered Kodesh HaKadosh. Meanwhile, what was waiting for the Kohen Gadol? The par, right, had been shechted. So that now it goes and tells us, he goes back and gets the Dam HaPar, and he goes into Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he sprinkles, it says in the Torah, first Apnei HaKaporis Kedma, and then it says Apnei HaKaporis Sheva Pa'amin. That's what we call Achas Lamala B'Sheva Lamata. Lamala just means, as interpreted in the Gemara, as a motion which is underhand motion, and then Sheva Lamata, like this, like you're whipping overhand. So that's the second entry into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now he's shechting the Sa'ir Lashem, and he brings the blood to the same place, and again he does Achas Lamala Sheva Lamata, as it says. But they also had to do not just Achas Lamala Sheva Lamata on the inside, from the parent and the Sayer, you also had to do the same sequence of 8, 1 and 7, on the other side of the Paroches, meaning on the Heichel side, right? So now you have a total of how many hazos? 8 and 8 and 8 and 8, right? Because you had 8 on the inside from the par and on the outside side of the parochas. And then you have the same thing for the sayer. That's a total so far of 32. Now what happens? Now he's going to mix them together. The pasuk says, "Lekach midama paro midama sayer." It says nobody's going to be there at the time of these machaper. V'yatzam mizbech shefni Hashem. V'lokach midam ha'par umidam ha'sari. This is again, I'm reading from the Pesukim in Chumash. You mix them together, and you put them ha'kanas mizbech saviv. How many corners? It's 4. So now you have an additional 4 azos of the mixed blood of the dam and the sari. So now we're up to 36. And then it says, v'yisa olam min adam be'etzbo sheva pa'amim. That means Allah, means on the top of the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach are we talking about? The Mizbeach Ha, we call this Mizbeach Ha Panimi. This is a Mizbeach that was in the Heichel, right? You know, he had gone out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and now he's in the Heichel area where you had the Shulchan, you had the Menorah, and you have the Mizbeach HaKtores, Mizbeach HaPanimi. So that's, now you have on that 4 and 7 from the mixed blood, so you have 11 on top of the 32, so you have a total of hazos of 43. Okay. And then it comes back and says he does vidui on the Sayer Achai, that's going to be sent to Azazel, and he does a vidui there. Now, this is where the Kohanim Ba'am comes in. Every time he did a vidui, so he's going to say Hashem's name, and everyone who hears him saying Hashem's name, Shem HaMeforesh, would prostrate themselves and say Baruch Shem. So you had a vidui on the par, number one, second vidui on the par, second, and then you have the vidui in the soyer, Lazazel. There was also the Lashem Chatas, but that we don't actually go through Bakonim Va'am, although probably that would have happened also. But in the vidui, in the piyut, we don't actually go over Konim Va'am on the Lashem Chatas, when he called out Lashem Chatas. Alright, so this is more or less the description of the Avoda in the Torah. It says in the pasuk, he goes into a mode and he takes off his clothing. Now this, according to Chazal, is out of order. This is one of those examples where Torah Shebal Peh is needed in order to understand properly Torah Shebichsav. The Rav used to say that dafka, the Torah did it over here, because Yom Kippur is a celebration of Torah Shebal Peh, And because the Luchos Shniyos that were given to us on Yom Kippur represent the idea of Torah Shebal Peh, as alluded to many midrashim, and the Beis Halevi has a lot on this as well, that there's also a new drasha, a new sefer came in the Rosh Harav this year. If you have it, you can take a look there in the second drasha. He goes into this in great detail. I think I even heard him saying this. I was young, but I did come to at least one Shuvah drasha of the Rav, and I think I even heard him say this once in the Shuvah drasha, that Yom Kippur is a celebration of Torah Shebal Peh, which is connected to Luchos Shniyos, and that's why the Torah purposely left the pasuk here that's only to be understood in light of Torah Shebal Peh. In other words, why is that? Because actually Aaron had to enter another time in Kodesh HaKodeshim, a fourth time. And what was that for? After all, he went for the Par, he went for the Torah, went for the Par, went again, went for the Soyer. What more is there? He had to remove the Kelim he used for the Torah. That's the Hotzas Kafa Machta. That was the fourth entry in Kodesh HaKodeshim. And the way that works is that that was not done the same Tvila, the same point in the sequence as the other three entries in Kodesh HaKodeshim. This is what leads us, Chazal, to understand that there were really five tvilos in the course of Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol, and 10 times Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. It goes like this. And in other words, he had to first start off the day, and he had to change from his regular clothing and put on Bigdei Zahav. Bigdei Zahav were the regular 8 begadim that Kohen Gadol wore. Whenever he did avoda that did not require him going to Kodesh HaKodeshim, he wore Bigdei Zahav, like a regular time he'd do avoda. So Tamei Tzu Shachar was certainly done in Big Day Zav. And you had other avodas that were standard, whether it be a Ketores, whether it be Hatavas Haneros, and so on. So you had Big Day Zav. Then he had to change. So he had to do Tefillah. Then he had to change to Big Day Lavan. And now you had again a Tefillah. And here he had to do the avodas going inside with Big Day Lavan, meaning he had 4 out of the 8, only those that did not have gold. So he didn't have the tzitz, he didn't have the me'il, he didn't have the chosh and the eifel. He just had the 4 remaining begadim, which a kohen hadid also wears. Kohen gadol had special garments. They were very, very expensive, and the Mishnah describes what they were worth and so on. So he wore those. And he went and did what we just described right now, the kitzur. We'll see more fleshed out soon. Then he had to be tovel again and put on Big Day Zav. Now what's going on now? So we mentioned before that there was an ayil that was brought, an ayil of Aaron and an ayil of the right? So obviously that has to be brought. That is not in Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's going to be in the third tefillah. Now, besides the kabbanos mentioned here, there are kabbanos mentioned in Parshas Pinchas by the Musafim. What's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas? That he brings in the second Torah that we read, Par ben Bakar Echad, Ayil Echad, Kvasi b'nei Shana Shivatim. So an additional, how many kabbanos? Seemingly, well, Par, Ayil, and 7 Kvasim is an additional 9. Now, wait a second. If we count here, what do we have here? We had the Par, the Ayil, and we had the Om's Ayil, right? And then you had, now you have Tamei Tzu Shachar, Tamei Tzu Ben Arba'im, so you can add that in. So that would be what? How much am I up to now? What? 15. And you had the Sayer, 16.
No, I was counting the
Sayer. Okay, so again, what do we have? Par Ben Bakar, Ba'ayah Le'ola, for him. Then you have Meis Adas Bnei Yisrael, you had the Sayer. And then you had the ayil. So that's how much? So again, par, ayil, and Bnei Yisrael you had, soyer and ayil, that's 4. You have 2 tamidim, is 6. Now what do you have here on the musaf? So it says here, par, ayil, 7 kvasim, that gives us 15. And also another soyer, chatas. Sirizim echad chatas. 16. The only thing is, maybe it was 16, maybe it was 15. What's the shayla? Because it says that you bring an ayil as part of the musafir. That ayil is different or the same from the ayil of the people. Pashas Achrimos. Realize, there was an ayil of Aaron, but there was an ayil, Me'is Adas Ben Yisrael, Yikach Shnei Sirim, Ba'ayil Echad Le'ola. Now the Isle of the Musaf is also, these are all olos, except for the Sar Ezim. For sure the Sar Ezim of the Musaf is a different Sar Ezim than the Sar Ezim in Achrimos, because Sar Ezim in Achrimos was sprinkled all the way inside. And this is called the Sar Hanaseh Bachutz. This is not all the way inside. But the question is, what about the Isle in Musaf? Is the Isle, which is mentioned in Pinchas, part of Musaf, in the same Isle as the Isle Ha'am, or different? Machokes Tanaim, Rebbe and Rebbe Lezer. So we hold like Rebbe. And therefore, if you assume it's the same Isle, then the total number of Kabanos, not including the Sar Lazarza, would be there for 15. More or less, you'll see if you open up a Chinuch, open up a Rambam. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, this question of just, you know, just recognizing that everything is rooted ultimately in the Psukim, and then we have to go back and interpret from there. So now we're at the third Tefillah, and now you have the fourth Tefillah, where he again went into Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's wearing Bigdei Lavan again, and that's what we said is when he's going in to go and take out the Kafel Machta. And then you have the fifth Tefillah, where he has to finish up whatever's left. Now, the only thing is, a lot of these avodos, we have to know when were they done. In other words, Hatavas Aneros, okay, let's assume it was at the end, the fifth tefillah. But when was Tamash Shach was in the first tefillah? What about Tamash Ben Arbayim? Two options. Was it in the third or the fifth? What about the Ayo? Let's assume it's the same Ayo. So, third. What about the rest of the Musaf? What about the Par of Musaf? What about the seventh Vasin? Third, fifth, first? So all this has a lot of shittas. Again, you have to begin to see, look at Mishnayis, and look in the Gemara, and look in the Rishonim. So there's a lot of shittas as far as where, you know, how does that, then if you have a sefer that does this for you, they lay it out for you, and I can tell you, you have to know what you're dealing with, and then you can start saying, okay, here are the possibilities. So that's, again, that's already beyond what we're going to be able to do fully. But just recognize that these are the kabanos, and you have to distribute these kabanos over the course of the five tefillos. Again, tefillah 2 and tefillah 4 are pretty much, we know what was done. Tefillah 2 was the main avodas of Yom Kippur, as described in Achrimos, meaning the Torahs and the viduyim and the Torahs and the bringing in the Paran Sar into Kodesh HaKadoshim, the sprinkling outside and on the Mizbeach, outside the Paroches and on the Mizbeach and so on. And number 4 was going to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for the fourth time to get the Kafel Machta. And then from the other 3, we have to figure out exactly what went where. Tefillah 1, Tefillah 3, Tefillah 5. Okay, that's a little bit of an orientation. Now let's look at the piyut. Amitz Koach. Now, as if it's hard enough to keep cheshbon in terms of just knowing what was what, this is written extremely cryptic, very, very, in a piyut style, but even piyut, you know, there's piyut and there's piyut. There's piyut that are, you know, a little easier to read, and the piyut that are really hard. It's, words are created, and you need a pirush, and sometimes a pirush on a pirush in order to really know what's being said. Okay, so there's always the easy way. You look at an English translation, but you're not really getting the connection. You're just sort of getting the gist. But to the extent that you really begin to notice, you begin to really at least get more and more a little bit of a sense of what's being said. So the first thing to recognize is that it takes a while till he gets to the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. A lot of time and a lot of the osios and alaveis are spent going back to creation of the world, and the history of, you know, how man, you know, failed, and how it took Yitzias Mitzrayim to choose a new nation of Klal Yisrael, and how ultimately Levi was chosen, and then you get to the Kohen Gadol. So, Amitz Koach, and all recognize this, well, every expression here is, we're not going to be able to mamish do every expression just here and there, but every expression is rooted, as piyut in general is that way, rooted in scripture, in Tanakh, in Sukkim. And so you have to have an appreciation of where these words are coming from and a feel for piyut in order to at least have some sense of what's being said. Any good machzer that has a pirush would be helpful. I'm holding one of them. This is called Machzer HaMeforesh, which I find very, very good. One of you is holding another machzer that has pirushim. It's, what is it called? The brown one? I don't know who has it. Yeah, what is it called? Okay, it has pirush of Mate Levi. Came out again some like 100 years ago, and it has it on the, you know, on the bottom of the page. Standard Mazel with English translation will give you some sense of what it is, but you won't really necessarily appreciate why a word means what it means unless you have some Shiras that tells you, oh, it's based on that, that's the form, that's the Shoresh. Sometimes you can figure it out. Okay, anyway, this is Bria Sa'olam. Amitz Koach, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Amitz Koach. Again, Tzukim, Nirovonim Ba'amitz Koach, Paskin Yeshaya. But again, Hashem, the strong one, in your strength, Kabir V'Ravonim, or Kadosh Baruch Hu, describing Hashem as the all-powerful one, Hashem Miyas, Miyasa Kimas Kivuasacha. You can recognize that expression probably, Hashem Miyasa Kimas Kivuasacha. Who can do what Hashem can do? Ometz Aliyos Kiris Al Karim Af Yisar Tateva Al Brima. Hashem is basically talking about Bria Sa'olam now, how the sky is set on as a sky, as a covering. V'Yos Olam Choshech V'Tzal Mavis Ve'Eifa. The world is full of darkness. I'm not going to translate every little word, but basically, you're getting the sense here. B'mati uvushcha or boke higata. Bein zeidonim chata kerchano. This is now the rakia that was separating between the higher waters and the lower waters. B'tzul kvisam v'yachasim choled. That it, in other words, that the water below should not overtake the dry land, and then you won't have any civilization. So Hashem had to create on the third day, v'seyura hayabasha. Girisa pnei neshi v'neitza tnuva. Again, Hashem revealed the land, the Adama, the earth, and things began to grow. Neitza means to grow. Gan mikedem tato shashu mamurecha, mamirecha. Again, every expression is a riddle within a riddle. You planted a garden, tata is lashon netiya, for the joy, for the delight of those who praise you, for Kal Yisrael. In this case, it was for Adam Harishon, but ultimately, the purpose of man is to praise Hashem. Godem Ma'oros Tata, that was, again, within day three, when Hashem built and planted Gan Eden. Godem Ma'oros Tata B'keil Zecha, you put the luminaries, this is day four, Gam Tzva Mazoros Yimam Tzivisa, again, the various stars and celestial constellations. Day Sachim B'doyim B'shoal Tzarta, now we're talking about day five. The fish are Sachim, they swim. Da'im, what does a bird do? Kasha yid eh hanasher, right? The pasuk in Kisavo. They fly. Again, you realize what's going on here. He's assuming so much. You read the words. You realize what these words mean. Da'im, those are the birds. Mishoal tzarta, you form them from the ground. Or from the water, I should say. Mimada deshoal mayim, right? Mishoal, shoal is water. Dimyam bariach l'cheras yosh v'ganim. Again, this is referring to the Leviathan. Dvukas v'gav motzir romsim v'choafim. This is the earth that it gave out the things that roam. Dor krana uvitza l'aruchas kruacha deshoa habor. This is according to Midrashim, right? It's also ready for the Suda. Hakom, right? That the Suda is going to be a Leviathan together with shoa habor, according to various Midrashim, whatever this symbolizes. But the idea being that it was already, when Hashem was creating the world, He was creating already what will be in the ultimate, in the end of days. Heichata tevach u'mesach, you prepared animals and the wine, v'soed ayin, there's no one to enjoy the meal, right? There's no man yet. So now we're getting to Kriya of Adam. He crafts a golem, mechomer, v'tavnis chosamecha, which is another way of saying that He created man, v'tzelem elokim. Pachto becheldo Torah Neshem Yisrulecha means you blew into him the Ruach Chaim. Hardam, what is Hardam? He was put to
sleep,
right? Redeem Mitzalo from his tzela Ezer lo yadata. You prepared a Ezer. This is Chava. It's Iviso b'li laot meitz adas laot, meaning another way of saying eating. The Haif, again, why do you use this? Because part of the appeal of piyut is that you use fancy words. That's what piyut has a certain mystique to it. So instead of using straightforward, that's the beauty of piyut, but it also makes it harder for us. You have to have a sense of what these words are and how you can use fancier words for the sake of a piyut, rather than using the more straightforward word. The hefer tzivoy kefesi ba'ashoa zochel. He negated, he nullified the commandment like a fool, like a simpleton, with the seduction of, who's the zochel?
The snake.
Right, he's the one that he creeps. V'unash v'zeyas af l'trof chuko. That was part of his punishment, that he has to fend for himself for food. The iveles, who's the iveles? The woman, her, right? B'tzirim. Her punishment was that she has labor pains. The arum, and the punishment of the arum, who's the arum? The nachash, afarlach. Okay, so now we're at the end of the fate of Eitz Hadas. Now we're going to get to Kaina Hevel. Zeri rivo ikpesa b'vetin chomedes. Chomedes is who? Is another euphemism for Chava, because she was the one that craved the Eitz HaDaas in the first place, and her womb you formed now the new fetus for Kain v'Hevel. Zara v'Holida Ikar v'Roitzon, Ikar is Kain, the farmer, and Hevel v'Roitzon. Zevach v'Shai Higishu v'Murach Yachad. Who brought the Zevach Hevel? Who brought the Shai? That was the pre-Adam of Kain. To you together. Za'amta Barav. You were upset with the older one, with Kain's Mincha. V'Shata. Why Bereshit V'Shata? The Pasuk says in Bereshit. Vayisha Hashem El Hevel v'Mincha. So you turned to Shura, sorry, the gift of the younger one. Chemel Racham of Shiches. He forgot his Rachamim. He corrupted it, the Araf Ach, and he murdered his brother. Chila Fanecha. But Kayin, even after he sinned, he turned to you and beseeched you, Vesamta Lo'os, as the Pasuk says, Vayasin Hashem Lekayimel, Secho, Shalishim, Kro, Vishim Chalasamel, Chel Nozim, Karasa, Ushtafim Babadu. This is a reference to Dor Enosh. And again, these are Midrashim, that third of the world was already overtaken by water. There was a miniature marble that destroyed a third of the world in the time of Enosh, because they began to worship Avodah Zarah then. Again, so now we're at the point of Enosh. Now we're going to get to Noah. Now we're talking about the Dor HaMabul. Tohu Gei. Now you realize we went through Ches already, and we haven't even gone anywhere yet near to Yom Kippur. But this is the style. In other words, everything, you start off in the beginning, and then you, and everything is, you see, Yom Kippur is itself, you know, it has its roots in Bi'as HaOlam. You know, Yom Echad, the Medrash says, is Yom Kippur. So it's not like it's totally unrelated. There's a certain connection. Everything goes back to the purpose of creation. So the point of going through all this is also connecting to the theme of Yom Kippur. Ta'u Geim ufatsu sur l'negdecha. They said to you, sur. Now, it was basically, the Dor HaMabul, interesting, the emphasis here is on the fact that they were arrogant. We usually think of Chamas as their sin. But the sins of arrogance saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get away from us. You know, we don't need you. Torafu, they were, again, they were over the commotion. They were torn apart. The Chom, Homim, the Zovu, the Nitzmas. Basically, the hot water of the Mabul, they were, that took care of them. Toun Gofer, Nosha, the Kisagatabada. Who's the Toun Gofer? The one that was carried in the Teva of Gofer. That's Noach. Tchula of Hifresa, right? His children, you multiplied umalu pnei tziyah, and they filled the world. Yatsu ne'echadim l'arum ad l'shachat. Now we're going to Dor HaFraga. The ne'echadim, that's what, that's the way to describe them. They came together, Dvar Machadim, they want to be unified. That's the ideology of Dor HaFraga, was to come together, to go up to the sky. Yukshu nuktsu b'ruach sarav esar. Again, they stumbled, and they were scattered. Yodid Asui Eva Yidacha Ba'olam, who are we now at? Avram, and you see he's the response to Dor HaFraga. He recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he was Polish from the sin of Dor HaFraga. They were the ones that were coming to challenge the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Avram made you famous in the world. Yichum Sukuna Pelichal Kolor Af Yakeda. Keseh Samim Bucha Rishtam, as Yaakov Avinu is considered the Ishtam. Kechasha Keshivas Olim, he desired to dwell in tents. V'nishach Acharecha Kosher Chanita Yof Utsais Mechalotzav. This is now Yitzias Mitzrayim. Chanita Yof is a reference to Mitzrayim. Yof is, or actually, not yet. Chanita Yof is just beauty. Chanita coming out of beauty, you took out of Yaakov's loins, a shifted cut now, not yet Mitzrayim. Kul Zer Emethem Udofi Nadus Mitasu Shlema. That all the children of Yaakov were accepted part of Kaiso. Shereschat Ivisa Levi Shchasidacha, to serve you, you desired Levi. The pasuk is Shchasidacha from those abrachas, you know, Lahavdil Migizo, to designate from his geza, from his line, his branch, Mugdash Kodesh Kadashim. So it actually doesn't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim specifically, but it gets to Levi. Now it talks about the Kohen Gadol who comes from Levi. Rikshan is a Kodesh Gatos Urim. La'atos is a word we see a lot here in the Piyut. It means to wear, like Ote Or Kasalma, right? Right. It means to don. La'atos Urim, to wear the Urim Betumim. That's the one of the main Gadim of the Kohen Gadol. Reishit Kichvuda Pnima Yomim Shiva. Now we're getting to Mishnayos and Yumim. So basically, we get through to Lamed, and by the time we end Lamed in the Piyut of Aleph Beis, we're holding in the first Mishnah Shiva's Yamin, Kanye Makipurin, Makrishin Kangadal, Rishka's Kahed. Okay, so you see, we went through Ramadan and we arrived in Mishnah Aleph and Yom. The Kohen Gadol is now going to be in a special room called Rishka's Tahedrin. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Yuma, for 7 days he was sequestered to be away from everything and to get oriented and familiar with what he's going to be doing on Yom Kippur. And now we're going through Mishnayos and Yuma, again in the language of Piyut. Machziki Amana, these are considered the Ziknei Beis Din, Shavua Kodem La'Asar, a week before Yom Kippur, La'Asar, Mafishin Kohen Arosh. He's referred to as Kohen Arosh. He's a pasuk in Ezra that's refers to Kohen Gadol as Kohen Arosh. So it's not his own expression. These are all expressions very often that are, you know, that are found, but it's not usually what you refer to the Kohen Gadol as. You refer to him as Kohen Gadol. But to be poetic, he says Kohen Arosh. Kedas HaMiguyim, according to the law of Miguyim. In other words, how do we learn out that the 7 days to be separated before Yom Kippur? So those who know, you know, the Makoros for this din, Gemara learns it out from what we know by the Miguyim, the 7 days of Miguyim prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan was dedicated. So Aaron Uvanak was stationed at the Pesach HaOmoi, the 7 days of Miguyim. It says in the Pasuk, they shall remain there at the end of Parshas Tzav, and also in Tetzaveh, Yom V'Laila Shivas Yomim. And we learn out from the Miguyim, so too, that the separation, that this one mandam of Yochem Yesh Lakish, but that's the connection to Miguyim, that the 7 days of preparation, there should be separated and stationed in a particular place to get ready for the big day 7 days later. During those 7 days, again from the Mishnayos and Yuma, Mazen Olav Mechatos Chetaro, they would do Hazah of Parah Aduma ashes, Mechatos, because of Tumas Meis. Zorik Umakta Meitu with Rabbi Bavodah, the Kohen Gadol would be doing all kinds of Avodah, Zerika Sadam and Akhtara and Atavas Neros, in order to get into the frame of Avodah to be custom when it comes Yom Kippur. As it says in the Pasuk, this is the Pasuk that we learn out from Miguyim. That's the Pasuk in Tzav. And that's how we learn out that goes back also not just for Miguyim, but also for Doros, that the same thing should happen for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur for 7 days. And who else? There's another time that you have 7 days of Prisha. Lassus L'chape Aleichem. Lassus is Yom Kippurim, and L'chape Aleichem is prior to doing the Paraduma. So we also have the din of 7 day separation. Nuvim may love Yinivonim. Now we're up to the letter Nun, right? That's Mem. Now Nun. Nuvim may love Nivonim Yishishay Shah. So these are now, this during the 7 days, the Nivonim, meaning the Tzkenim, who are in the gates of Beis Din, and the Rosh Sanhedrin, they're going to tell him, Noamim Lo, Noamim, the letter Nun. Noamim Lo, Krana Beficha. You should read. No God, you know, to be able to learn Seder Avoda. Read the Seder Avoda to get accustomed to it. That's the Mishnayos in Yuma, the third Mishnah in Yuma. No God Shi Yamidu Beshar Kodim. No God is the language of light. It's like saying or to Shi. No, it was the morning of the 9th of Tishrei, Erev Yom Kippur. No, it was tomorrow morning. They would put him in the east gate, the entrance of the Azara. What's that called? What's that gate called? There's a name? Shar Nikana. That's the entrance to the Azara. Noi Zibchayom, the fun of Yaviru, the beauty of the Karbanos of the day, which means the various beautiful Karbanos, as opposed to one Karban they didn't bring. They didn't bring the Sawyer, the Gemara says, because it comes for Chet and he'd have Chalisha Sadas. So that's Noi Zibchayom, the beautiful Karbanos of the day, not those that remind him of Chet. By the way, those who have the Rav's Machzer, one of you has it, it's also, if you have it, he has some beautiful things on the Avodah, and they probably bring it down also in the bottom there. It's some very nice things that he said over the years in various rushes, beautiful insights. Semach, Samach. Semach bi Hashemesh, meaning close to the sun setting, and then Erev Yom Kippur is coming now close to the nighttime. Seido Yam Itu, they're going to limit his food. This is all Mishnayos and Yuma. Sav Roven, because of the possibility that he could become Tamei. Sav is the equivalent in Aramaic of Tuma, right? Sav is like to become Sava. Anyone who's Mabba said it with Unkus should know this. You see the word Tamei in Chumash, you look in Unkus, it will say, right, the equivalent, Sa'ovta, whatever. So it's the Tuma of Keri, which is right, lest it happen when he falls asleep. So we don't want him to fall asleep. Again, Savei Shifto, the elders of the Shevet, Lulamit Chefen Yolichu. Now they're going to take him to a special room called Rishkas Beis Avtinas, That's where they used to show in about the Beis Avtinas were the ones who were responsible for making the Torahs, that family. So they would show him how to do the Torahs. He had to do it in a special way on Yom Kippur, with his hand, and he had to put it from his hand. He couldn't lose any part of it. He has to go onto the machta with the coals. Samim l'same b'fnim oso yashbiu. The Torah Samim, in order to make it burn inside, they made him swear that he not do it the way that Stukim said, but he has to do it inside. Now we're still on Samach. Sama b'soro v'dmiya kinechshad. Again, all poetic way of expressing what it says in the Mishnah. Hu porish u'bocha v'hem porish u'bochim. He, his flesh became hard, and he was crying because he was suspected that he would do it wrong. Sarugam heim u'vecha igil. So they also cried in return. But meanwhile, that's the way it had to be done. Again, we're not really learning these inyanim. There's a lot to say if you learn it for itself, but we're just trying to get a feel for the piyut. He's basically expressing what it says in the Mishnah. Siach medrash b'ther b'chsavi goyon svima vishanu la'orat chatzo. So now he's going to be learning at night, whatever it is that he's learning, medrash or k'savi goyon is kisli hakodesh. The Mishnah says different things that he would learn. If he was Talmid Chacham, he'd learn, they would darshan lefanav. If not, it would be mikra, maybe Ezra. Sviva Vishanu, and they would learn around him till Chatzos. Now it's going to be time for the what's called Trumas Hadeshen at Chatzos, because there was so much to do in the daytime, so they pushed up Trumas Hadeshen earlier than usual. Trumas Hadeshen was usually closer to daybreak, but Yom Kippur it would be done earlier in the nighttime. Now, something very important we should be aware of here. The Mishnayos and Yuma talk about pious. There were various lotteries that were done in the Beis HaMikdash to determine who would be Zoche, for example, Trumas Hadeshen. Originally it was a race. Those of you know the Mishnayos, right? But then they said it had to be a pious. And then there was also a pious for things associated with the Tamid. And then you had a pious for the Torahs, those who had never done it before, because it was Mashir, made you rich. So someone who had already a chance would not be qualified to be participating in that lottery. In any case, there's major machlokes here whether these payasos were held on Yom Kippur. What's the question? Because after all, doesn't Kohen Gadol do everything? The answer is not necessarily. Some Rishonim say yes, Kohen Gadol does everything, because the avodas, everything in Yom Kippur, whether it's unique to Yom Kippur, whether it's something that will be standard for every day, Yom Kippur has to do it. Baal Mor says, therefore, that those piyutim that talk about payasos are wrong, because they assume that there were payasos on Yom Kippur, and there were no payasos on Yom Kippur. Other Rishonim, the Ramban and Mochama, says that no, there may have been certain things that could have been kosher by the regular Kohanim, if it's, for example, a Hechsher avod, not a real avod, or if it's avodas Laila, such as the Trumas Hadeshen. So therefore, it could be that at least some of the avodas you had a pious for. And then there are those who I believe would hold that as long as it's not unique to Yom Kippur, it would be kosher to have anyone do. So again, so you have to know that based on this, the fact that the payasos are mentioned here would suggest that there were payasos on Yom Kippur. In the Mishnayos, you could say the Mishnayos were just sort of giving you a digression to the payasos in general in Yuma. But in terms of the piyut, you have to know what to say here. So the Rishonim discuss all this. You know, they're bothered by this issue. Balmor, the Ramban, beginning of Yuma, and other Rishonim, the Ritva, Tos Yantif on the Mishnayos talks about it. Otsu, now we're with Ayin. Otsu, what's Otsu mean? They were happy. Right? Olat Skibi Bashem. We had it in Haftorah, first day of Rosh Hashanah. They were happy, and he starts off because we're in Ayin now. Trom Deshen, to do Trumas Be'Pais Rishon. O Yafisu, Edishon Pnimi Menorah. Soon they do it pious for the cleaning out of the ash of the Mzvecha Pnimi and of the Menorah, which is done every day. Ekev Torres Pais Chadashi Mishaleshu. For the sake of Torres, they would have a pious, a pious, which would be those who have never done it before, the rookies, they shall do Torres. That would be the third. The third goro of the day, Aroch Nesachim Yachad Pais Urpi. The fourth goro, fourth pais had to do with setting up the Evarim from the Tamid. So he tells you there were payasos. Yeah. Allah, we're still with Ayin, Allah Baraka Shachar, and this is now the third parak, I believe, of Yuma, beginning of the third parak. Allah Baraka Shachar Kinamat Sofer. So when the Sofer, the onlookers, saw, he said, it's up. You can bring the carbon tummy now. It's already daylight, daybreak. Allah Perishizu Masach Butz Latznia. now they says that they used to surround him with like a separation of linen for when he would be changing in order to now go to the mikvah for the first time. Eira suso, he would now take off his suso, is his clothing, another poetic way of saying suso, levusho, suso, right? You have that in Vayichi, those who remember, right? Kibes, bayayin, levusho, v'damanavim, suso, the words are parallel. Kisuso and suso mean the same thing. So, era suso, taval, v'at, zahavim. At is that word I said we keep using to mean he donned, he wore zahavim. Now he's wearing the eight garments of gold. Amad v'kidash v'kiretz t'mir ha-shachar. Kiretz means he shechted the first carbon of the day, the tamid ha-shachar. Hokad l'marko. Now we're pay. So he's instructing to somebody to finish the shechita v'ukiba v'zarak. And now the Kohen Gadol is accepting the blood. Peras hiktir v'hitir v'hikrib v'nisech. Then he separated from everybody, went to the heichal, because no one's got to be there when he's makdir the Torah. Which Torah now? The regular standard daily Torah, and as well as the Hatavas Aneros, and then the Evar HaTamid he was Makriv, the Nisech, and then he did the Nesachim that you Makriv as well every day with the Tamid Shel Shachar. That's done Yom Kippur as well. Pu'ulas Kolil Hishlim, the various activities of the Kolil. What's the Kolil? The carbon Tamid is Kolil because it was an Ola. Hishlim, he completed. V'as kaseder, he did it according to the prescribed order. We know that tamidim are considered kesidrim. There's an order of the tamid as well. Okay, continuing with pay. Parsu sadin lavan al kivarishona. So now we are in the next tevila. We're now about to start the second tevila, and now we're getting into the meat of Yom Kippur avoda. Right, this is going to be where the bulk of the Yom Kippur avoda is going to happen in the second tevila. So they separate again. They spread a linen garment like the first time. Now there's a difference in where he did the tefillah. The first tefillah could have been in Chol. I think it was on top of Shar HaMayim, I believe. This one was on what's called the Beis HaParva. Parva Bakodesh Sham Kiddush Upasha. That's where he did Kiddush Dan Ragaim, and he took off his clothing. Pasa the Taval Levanim. He took some strides. The Taval. And he's immersed. Levanim at white garments. He at means at means what at. I mean test. He donned right ata otar kasamo. We sing it again. The kiddush again. There's two kiddush. One kiddush in the gaim was for the begadim he's taking off, and the other kiddush in the gaim was for the begadim he's putting on. We talked about five tefilos. There were five tefilos. How many kiddush in the begadim were there? A total of 10. Right. Good. I have a sense that most of you have a chance at least to have some gone over this before, but it's good to always chazer it. Pirusim erka manim shmona aser. Did you ever learn it from inside? That's the question. That's probably not as likely, right? Because it's in shul, you're saying it so fast, so at least now we're getting a better sense. Pirusim erka manim shmona aser. In other words, based on the Mishnayis, pirusim means it was from a. It was a special fine type of linen that came from Ramses. That's what Pirusim means. And it was worth Shmona Aser. Those were the mourning ones. The Big Day Lavan the second time were less expensive. Together they added up to 30 mana. Pu'urim, again, beautiful. Now we're getting to the point where he's going to do the vidui on the par of his par. Kolo mutza ben ulam izbeach. Now getting to the sukkah, we saw at the beginning in Achrimos. His par was standing, was situated between the ulam and mizbeach. Right, the ulam was the first point that you enter where it's covered, and from the ulam had a very wide entrance. You go into the ulam, and from there you'd enter into the heichal, which is a more narrow entrance. Pisfuli pesach says the Gemara in Yuma, ki pesach pislo shel machat, right, like a needle. And I will open up for you ki pislo shel ulam. That was a very wide entrance. So there was the Mizbeach in the Azara, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and then there was the Mizbeach, and there was a designated area called Bein HaUlam LaMizbeach. The Ulam, the Mizbeach, and the area in between, that's where the par was. Pan of Yama. Yama is the direction of Kodesh HaKadashim, right? The more west we go, the more we're going Heichal, and then more west is Kodesh HaKadashim. The face of the par was to the west, Verosh HaNegba, and its head was south, Mu'ukam. The Gemara explains why that was, that they had it that way, that they head to the west. Pagash v'samach yado aroso, he encountered it, put his hand on it, pshav hoda, and he confessed his sins, uvuchubo lo taman, he didn't hide in his sins in any way. And now, so now we finish the pay, and now we insert at this point the nusach of the vidur. Now you realize these paragraphs are what the two piyutim have in common. Whether it be amitz koach, what we're doing now, or ato konanta. So a certain point when you have the description of the vidur, so assuming that Meshulam had the other nusach, the other piyut, so he basically took the paragraphs of the Kachaya Omer and Kachaya Mona from the existing piyutim, and then he inserted it in the proper places within his piyut. So here you have the identical nusach as nusach svar, right? The Kachaya Omer, and now you have the vidui of, what was his vidui? Ana Hashem, Chatasi Vis Peshati Lefanacha Niuvesi. This is a vidui for him and his house. And he acknowledges that he sinned. Ana Vashem, interesting here, Vashem, Kapena, beseeching Hashem to provide kapara. This is the essence of the machaper, vidui as a machaper. There's no kabbalah lahaba here, as you normally assume you have with vidui. The Rav explained this, because this is a different idea in vidui. There's vidui as part of the tshuva process to express the kabbalah haba. There's also vidui as part of the process of kapara. And as we have here with the Kohen Gadol, bakasha slicha, acknowledging the chet, and bakasha slicha, that's what you have in the vidui, the ingredients here in the Kohen Gadol. Kaperna. And we call the pasuk, as it says in the Chumash, ki vayom azei chav lechem kachet tezim tochet zeh v'nei Hashem. When he says Hashem, Hashem, he's going to say it with the Shem HaMeforosh. Different shittas exactly which Shem HaMeforosh it was. But at the time that the Kohanim Ba'am were Nazara, when they heard the Shem HaNichbad Ba'anor HaMeforosh, and this is where everybody gets ready to go through this, to reenact it, B'kdusha B'tara, you call him Mishtach Mabim V'neim, and they would say Baruch Shem. So this is the first recitation of Vidui, and the first recitation of Shem HaShem, and the response of Baruch Shem and everyone who heard. And he would complete the shame as he was saying the shame. He said it before he finished the pasuk, right? Lefnei Hashem titharu. So there's one more word that he'd be saying, and Kineged HaMevarchim, who was saying Baruch Shem, he would then respond with titharu, and then we beseech Hashem as we reenact this, Yuha Kadosh Baruch Hu B'tzufach HaGadol Ma'orach HaNacha V'Soleach L'Ish Chasidecha, who's forgiving, right, the sins of the Kohen Gadol. Now, we're going to, after he did the first video in the Par, what's the next thing we went over before? What's the next thing that's going to happen? He's going to do what? What's coming now? Hagrola. The Hagrola. Now he's going to do the lottery between the two Seirim. As you see, and we're basically following the Pesukim in the Parshas Achrimos. The Chipa Bado V'Adveso, that's the first vidui. Then it says, V'lokach Shnei HaSeirim, that we saw in the Kriyas HaTorah. He's going to do the Hagrola. Sa'ad means what? Mechim mitzad egaver, right? Shetatzidenu l'shalom. Sa'ad means sa'ad, is a step. He took strides, he took steps. Again, why the word sa'ad? It's nice, it's fancy, it's also fitting with the acrostic, up to tzadina. Yeah. Sa'ad. Leilech lo'lem mizvach hazara. Tzemed sa'orim sham mehon eda. The twins, the goats are there, and they were purchased by, in contrast to the Kohen Gadol's carbon, which he had to pay for, was his personal carbon. This was the communal funds that paid for the Seirin. That's quite Mehon Eda, from the wealth of the community. Smudim Achuyim, meaning they're like brothers, they're like sisters, like they're connected one to another. They have to be similar. That Shnei HaSeirim, we learn out, they have to be shoving in every way, the koma, in the value, and yet one with Hashem, one with Hashem. But it had to be in every other way, in appearances, to be as if they were twins. The koma, the Torah, the koma. Tzogim, they're standing there. The Chaper Avon Basa Shoveva, the head of Kal Yisrael called Basa Shoveva. Seyuv Chalashim Taraf, the two golden lotteries, they were made into gold by one of the Kohanim Dolim. He pulled it out. Taraf Bakalpi, now we're in Perek. What Perek is this in Yuma? Taraf Bakalpi, this is I think the fourth Perek. The Hera Mikalpi, Tzanach, he shook his head, the Higriel. Oh, he bent down. Sonach, he bent down. The Higriel, he did the ladder of the Shem Gavoah, the Latsuk. For Hashem and for the cliff and for Azazel. Sa'ak b'kolam Hashem Chatos, Tosus of Anurel, those who listened, Tosus of those who were listening intently answered, Ubechus Hashem, what did they say? When they said Hashem Chatos, what did they say? Baruch Shem. We could have had a paragraph right here of Konim Ba'am. Okay, we don't. But this would have been another one where they would have said Baruch Shem. Sele Zaholis, Kasher Baruch Mishtalech. He put the ribbon on the head of the one that's being sent to Mr. Sarla Zazel, Tzigaso Imen, Neged Beis Shiluach. He directed it in the direction of where it's going to be sent out. Sarach, again, he split across the Azara. Now he's going to go back to the path for the second Vidui. Again, as Yitzukim tell us in Achimos, he goes to Chipe Bado a second time, which is the second Vidui. Ubayitz of Parashenis, Sachan Matehu Pneitzu is Vada. Sachan is like the dirt, the schmutz of his shevet. The first time the Vidui was just for his own family. Now, what's another way of saying shevet? Matehu, his tribe, Pneitzu facing Hashem, his Vada. The Kachaya Omer, and this time the Vidui says, Chatashi Pneitzu Vadacha Ani Ubesi, and further, so this is more expensive, and again the rest is the same on Hashem Kaprin. And again, when he says this, he says Hashem Hashem Ufnei Hashem Titaru Ufnei Hashem. He said the Shem of Forash Kohanim Va'am hear this, and they Mishtachaveh, and they say Baruch Shem, and he would say Titaru. Now we're up to Kuf. Yeah. So what happened after the second video of the power? What's the next thing that's going to happen? What's supposed to happen now? No. He's shechting the power. Koch. Macheles, koch means he took, lakach, koch, kuf, he took the knife, chada, sharp knife, ushchato kaseda, according to prescribed order, kibel dam b'mizrak, unesana mamaris, he accepted it in a vessel, and he gives it to the mixer. The mamaris is now going to be doing the mixing while he's about to go now and do what? Torres, knife b'lifnim. Krishaso yimas, had esazoya. Right, he would melt it from becoming hard until the time that's going to be sprinkled. Kafui pen yiyeh, he lest it become hardened, coagulated. The tu adar slicha, and the forgiveness would be held back, would be missing. Right, ish lo nedar. Right, nedar means it's missing, it's not there. The tu adar slicha, the slicha would be missing. Koach lachashos, to take the simmering coals, chas. He scooped out the machtas parvayim with this red pan that's called parvayim. Kala, it was light. The gelad rach had a long handle. The gelad rach, it was a little lighter. Baruch Hashem had a long handle. Kada l'tocha shkoshikav gecholim. The way it was, the Mishnah says that he spilled into it three kabin, kervul o bazach, ugdushas daka. And then he brought him a little bowl and a another plate filled overflowing with ketores. It was an empty bowl, and then there was and a full one overflowed with ketores. Karat v'chafan beheri ketoch bazach. He's now going to scoop up from the kli the ketores melo chafnav and spill it that exact shear, which is what's going to have to go ultimately on the pan with the coals. It's now going to be in the bazach. Kavatz machta b'yamin. He held tight the machta on the right hand. Ubazach b'smol. And where is he going to go? Into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kish tsa'adav. The sound of his steps. Okay, we had that word before. Tsa'adav, right? Right, tsa'ad. Of his steps. The parochos to the parochos. There were two parochos on either side between the Hoyach and Kodesh HaKadoshim. This was in Bais Sheni. The Kerav Rabadin. Okay, the way he went, the Mishnayos tell you the exact route that you see in the Mishnayos. He went between the Badi Aron. Again, if there's no Aron, Bais Sheni, it was the equivalent where the Aron used to be. Torah Son Bei Neimo, he put the Torah between them, the Ishein, and he made cloud in there, the Yatsa. So now he has entered Kodesh HaKadoshim for the first time with the Torah. Rove Mares, from the youngster who was mixing Menu Natada. Menu meaning Mimenu. From him, he took the blood. Reed Safe. he hurried up, Bertzifus, like very quickly. The Nichnas, again, because of the Reish, he uses a Reish word. Ritzay. The Nichnas become Min Shadoyim, again, between the same place, the same two poles. Ben Shadayalin. Ritzui Hazayos Taval, the Hitzlip Minyan. The Ritzui of the Hazayos. He dipped his hand in, and then he's going to hitzlif, is the Russian use, like a whip, according to the number, Rum Mara Achas, one above, Mata Sheva, and here we have again the Kachaya Omer. Again, everyone together, he would count, everyone would say, right, he would go interchange with the Shabs, Achas, Achas, the Achas. Why do you have to not, why do you have to do Achas each time? Why not say, count to eight? Because you can lose Cheshbon, which, you know, which one, so. You always have to know there was Achas Lamar and then Achas Ushtayim. You always remind him of the first that he did and then each one as he went up to the number Achas V'Sheva. We're still in Reish. Ratz V'Inicho Bakon. Now he's going to hurry up and put the rest of the Dam Apar that's still in the Kli. He put it on a little pedestal that was right outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the Kodesh side, in other words. There was something there, the Shachat Sayer. Now he's going to Shach the Sayer, which Sayer, Sayer Lashen, right? Ritza, the Kibel Damo, Ba'agan Kodesh, again, accepted the blood in a vessel. Rigel, V'amad, again, he went, what he's habitually doing, again, he's doing it again. He stood, B'makom V'yud Aron, Ritza, Zoyes, Kemasi, Danpar, and again, it's going to be Kacha Yamona. Kacha Yamona before was for the par, now Kacha Yamona for the Soil Hashem, the one, and then the seven on the inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rahat v'hinicho, now what? Now he's going to go do the Achas Mashav Mata on which side? On the Kodesh side. So v'hinicho v'dam par nakal, so he's putting down the vessel with the dam soyer, and he's taking the dam par. Ragav heiritz v'tsog chutz v'vodoles, and he stood. Sug is to stand outside the Bodolas, another way of saying Parochas, the Evdila HaParochas Lochem, it's called a Mavdil, but Bodolas, it's the separation. Rikmei Parochas Yaz, on the curtain of the Parochas, he's going to spritz, Kimishpat Kapores, as he did on the other side. So it's again Achas Mal Shevel Mata. And Rogash, the Rogash, he hurried up again, Vishana, the Hizamidam Soyer. Now some would have again, I think in the other Nusach Sfar, I believe, they did again Achas. So you'd have it, you know, be done four times. Maybe I'm wrong, I'm not sure, maybe not. But you could have had it here again. There was some who say to do it again. And our Nusach is to do it only twice. So he actually did Achas his own four times. For the par inside, for the Sari inside, and again for the par outside and the Sari outside. I think we just mentioned he did it again for both on the inside, on the outside of the parochas, but we don't actually count again. Now we've gone so far 32, right? Now we're going to do another 11, right? But these 11 are going to be mixed, the dan hapar and demesar. That's we're up to here. We're up to shin, almost through the alphabet. Shav uvarolam lechite mizbeach sagur, and he purified the mizbeach. That is considered Zahav Sagur. It's an expression. I mean, in other words, it's a pasuk. It says Zahav Sagur, Melachim Aleph, describing the Mizbeach HaKtores. It's called Zahav Sagur. So it's Mizbeach Sagur, Mizbeach HaZav. Sheva Otaharo, seven on the top itself, which is exposed, the Kron of the Arba, and four on the corners. Shakad, he's conscientious, Uba Itzo Sarachai. Now he's going to the Soyer Azazel, who's called Tzor Sarachai right now, soon to be shut down the cliff. Shigyon Am, who's Dono, the Shkogos and his Donos of the nation. Yoda Lokel, the Kachaya Omer. And now comes the Vidui on the Soyer Azazel, on Hashem, Chatu Abu Pashuk Nacham Chabes Yisrael, or Kai Yisrael, on the Hashem Kapena, and so on. And then you have Konin Ba'am as before, and so on. Shigro Biadish Itil Midbar Oz. Shigar is to send, he sent it with the Ish Iti to the intense desert, Shemetz Kismei Zeus, Es Gzeira, the dirt of this thing, carry it to the Gzeira, down to the, you know, to the hard area, to the Midbar, Gshen Sela Adafo V'Gugav V'Yard, it was shoved down, Shubu Atzamav Kenefetz Kliyotze, like breaking a pottery into pieces, it was, it became full of pieces as it went down. This is the very mystical avoda of the Sarel Azazel. Shchuza Achaz. This is now continuing in Perek Vav in Mishnah Zayin. There it goes back to what happened now after he gave the soil to be sent to the Midbar. Now he has to take the various limbs of the Parvus Soyer and to burn them, to have them burned. So he has to grab on. He has to pull out, to rip out the innards of the Parvus Soyer with a sharp knife. That's Shchuza. With a sharp knife, he grabbed onto a sharp knife and he ripped out the parts of the Parvus Soyer. Shalaf imurim ugvios kala lisrof, to get it already netted, to be taken out. It was going to be taken out to be burned outside. Shoag sidre yom, he is proclaiming the Seder Yom. There was a reading of the Torah by the Kohen Gadol. He read the Parsha of Achrimos, and he read it from the Sefer Torah. Kidesh upashat, and now he's doing Kidesh Nevi'im, and now he's taking off those clothing. Shilesh the Taval for the third time, the third Tefillah. Pazim at the Kidesh. He's going to now wear the big day zahav, and he's wearing the pazima. He's wearing big zahav, the kiddush again, the kiddush and baglayim. And what's he doing now in the third tefillah? So how does Rav Meshulam Rav Konimus hold about this? What are you doing in the third tefillah? Take a look. Tough. Tachaf, right away. Take it right away. V'os elo v'elam. So now on this third tefillah, he's offering the ale of the Isle of the Kohen Gadol, Par and Isle in the beginning of the parasha, and the ale Ha'am, which we said is the same as the Isle of the Musaf. Terav Chatos Musaf. What's Terav? Terav is the equivalent of the Hebrew Chelev. If you look in Unkris and Vayikra, you'll see this all the time. The Chelev of the Chatos and the Musafin Hikriv Kachok. So this is according to him in the third tefillah, the Musafin. Tar, he soaked his hands in water. He has to say something to represent, for Kiddush Dayan Vagayim, but he has to fit the tuff. So tar is like shora. Tar, v'kidesh, pasha, tava, v'kidesh, and now we're up to the fourth tefillah. What does he do now? Tachrich badim ot. He's now going to don what? Again, only linen, v'dilavan, v'nichas ladvir. And what's he going to do with that in the Dvir, in the Kodesh HaKadosh? And Tchunas Klik Torah, the numbers, whatever the various, sorted Klik Kodesh, Hotzi, he took out. That was the fourth Tefillah. That's the Avoda, going in and taking out. There's a Musa Haskell here too. That was the Avoda, the fourth Tefillah, to take out the Kelim from Kodesh HaKadosh. And the Kidesh, Talboshes Madav, Hifshit, he took off his white garments, the Ganaz Netzach, and they're to never be used again. They became shameless. That was buried. Tirgel, he got again accustomed. The Taval, Charutzim Ot, the Kidesh. Now he's going to basically be wearing again the Big Day Zahav, which are called Yerakrak Charutz, expression. So that's why it says charutzim. It's a gold, but it's a way of saying gold in a poetic way. He's wearing the charutzim, the gold garments, the kidesh, tamid, his dear. Now he's going to be offering the carbon tamid, shalbein or abayim. So according to Shulam, tamid shalbein abayim was not in the first or the third, but it was on the fifth. Again, various shitas here. This is not, by any stretch, the only shita. The Rambam, I think, says it was earlier. Again, you have to mayin. But again, this is what he says. It was in the last tefillah. Tamid hitzdir betimer, that's the ktores, the neros hela, this is the hadlokas haneros. Teichel avodos, this, when he's finishing now with the avodos, yad rego kidesh, he's again doing kiddush nair aglayim, timem tfilos chamesh kiddushim asar, this is now, he's completed the five tfilos and ten kiddushim, torah and damaso, the image of his face, kitzeis hashemish bigvura. This is the image of the Kohen Gadol after finishing the Avodah. Takaf got strong, the dots, he was happy, Ditsa, Va'ata, Big Dehono, and he donned his own personal, what he spent with own money for, his own personal garments. And still went with tough here, and now he's just going to be free-spirited here. The Paiton just talk about what a beautiful scene this was, which is going to get us to Mari Cohen soon enough. Tama to Lavet, Sir Neman Labais. Tama is Knesset Yisrael, is going to escort the royal shliach Hom togel bisbaser hashlag odem katola. She will be rejoicing when being informed that the red has turned snow white, right? That was the ribbon that turned white that they put on the top of the mountain when he sent down the thing. So there was another piece. Tade yesha, tate miutzdaka, tafik tzaholat, habir ditzvacheb. Again, expressions of how she exclaims and expresses joy. Tulule rum hirifu zadziv talam. The sun, the world is different. The universe is different. The heavens are giving good due. Talmish tzadai rabu teshivu on the fields, and what you plant, the machvesha where you put in the furrows for plowing, they're gonna give ultimately their bounty. Toda nasnos vizera shalom. Those who are gathering their seeds in peace are giving thanks. Tihila bisru noselu musbirenos. Everything is gonna go well as a result. If everything goes well on Yom Kippur, then basically everyone is happy. It touches everybody. Tachilus eretz vizemer shimeyut is all the basic sense of this. We can't really go into every little word. Tinut tzidkosav chatzat hochen nesivos. They sang his praises. Those are going on the roads. Tikvas shochav emun lo asav tochatim kitzina stel of yom katzim mitzawasam. Now we get into his name. That's the tough. Mitzawasam ruchatzim itenef sanachanasam zaku. From their dirt they were cleansed. From their various all expressions of lichruch and dirt. They were cleansed. Shleimim tmimim. This is the man. Shleimim tmimim bebar kapeh muzachzachu. Lahagid kimitara makor ma'im chayim mikve yisrael menakam ma'im nemanu. The Torah v'nikoyen yinaku v'yitol yichutshu kechatshu v'karim v'kesem v'zachzachu. Romos kel yagol v'gronam v'shonam ron v'fimo shechadash. They're singing new songs. Yagilu v'rad yavdu v'yir atosh yisrael mekadosh kedoshim v'shanin l'ranin l'sofik v'tzalzel. He's really running with the beauty of the expressions, Nachseach b'neginos lahanim zemer, Nachvokim b'ozim minu meima, Yachad nesmachim b'mreat tzedek, and so on. Sasim b'simchi yasigu, Sasim b'gilam b'shmo ko ayom. Oh, how happy they were. Ziv olam kishach yibak, Akom yisro b'yon b'gon tzur alamim. And Ashriyam shekocho, Hashem shem alkav. This is pretty much where it comes to the leading into the Mari Kohen. The Yom Kohen Gadol, now it sort of leaves, the period is pretty much finished. I mean, in terms of how it lays out in his, the Yom Kohen Gadol. And this was his tefillah. I think this is just sort of added on. And then Emes Manedar, of course, and then we express the joy. The Rabbi used to say that, again, you know, to really appreciate Yom Kippur, you have to appreciate the Avodah. You have to appreciate it. When he said the Avodah, and it's recorded in his Mazan, people, eyewitnesses can say this, he literally was transformed into another world. Literally, almost felt like he was so connecting to something otherworldly, to another time, to another. It's hard, you know, for us to fully get to that, even to partially get to that point. But to whatever extent, it's a tremendous madrega. I mean, this is central to Yom Kippur, and it's also central to appreciating what we're doing afterwards. When we begin to talk about how we don't have it, to really feel the loss, you have to feel the beauty. You know, you have to feel what it must have been like. And then, especially on Day Yom Kippur, it's perhaps a little bit, you know, allows us to be able to feel a taste of, you know, the loss of Churban Beis Hamikdash, which is again part of also what Vidui is also for. Vidui is not just for this chet and that chet, but there's a kolyistik of Vidui the Rabbi used to say for Knesset Yisrael, the Vidui that we unfortunately, because of our sins, Knesset Yisrael, we've lost the Beis Hamikdash. And part of the mitzvah Vidui of Yom Kippur is to be able to express the vidui for having brought about Churban Beis Hamikdash, and that's sort of where we go from here. In order to really feel that vidui, we have to also connect with the beauty of what it was like. So it's not enough that we just repeated the avoda, but we have all these various, you know, expressions of joy in the Maran Kohen. In order to be able to ashrei ayin rasa ko eila, and to really feel the ecstasy of what it must have been, in order to feel the sadness at the loss of the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe just for the next 10 minutes or so, just we'll talk in general. Just a yom like this really requires, you know, not just a few minutes, not just one shiur. Everyone in their own way, of course, will do hachana in their inner work, obviously, and then whatever way to relate to what Yom Kippur is about. And, you know, we'll try to talk a little bit about Yom Kippur and maybe about the connection to Sukkot as well. Yom Kippur is described as Achas Bashana. The Torah describes it in Achimos as Kippur Arachanos of Achas Bashana. So the first thing is to recognize Achas Bashana. It's not just that the Torah uses that expression, but it means that Yom Kippur is a day like no other day. If you were to pick a day in the calendar, there are many days every day stand out. Shabbos stands out every week, and you have Yom Tov. But if you try to pick one day out of the entire cycle of the year that's almost like it's not from this world. Shabbos is also in Olam Haba, but Yom Kippur is more than that. Shabbos Shabbosa. So, Al Pi Machshava, that would be Yom Kippur. That's why Yom Kippur, it's brought that the Satan is HaSatan is Gematria 364, and Yom Kippur is the day that the Satan has no power. He has no power. He can't prosecute. What does that mean? That means that the Satan represents Ra, represents evil in the world. There's one day, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not allow Ra to be sholeit. It's Yom Kippur. So, it's a very profound idea. It's almost like it's something from beyond. The Rav used to say that the mechaper of Yom Kippur is the day itself. The pasuk says, Ki vayom hazeh yechaper alecha. You could say it means on this day, but it can also be translated with this day, through this day. The day itself is invested with a particular koach. It has a power. And it's really a lesson of the thing, of the chinuch. You look in the chinuch, in describing the mitzvah of the Avodah of Yom Kippurin, Nachrimos, he really says it. It's not typical. In the chinuch, what he says is beautiful in general, that the idea of Yom Kippur, to have a kapara, Hashem didn't want the averus of the world to get to accumulated over years where the world would have to get destroyed, so Hashem had to create a system to the mechaper averos. But he says more than that. And the way that he expresses it, Mishar shi ha-mitzvah shari mechaz v'yakeo brud yosab l'kfuah lehen yom echad bashana l'chapora ha-chatoim im ha-tshuva shi yeshuvu shi'i hu yiskab zavono sabiyo shana shana tesmar yisa'asam l'sof shana sayim l'sholosh yischai v'olam kroya. Therefore Hashem swore to it l'kiyim ha-olam l'kfuah yom echad bashana l'chapora ha-chatoim l'ashava. So far, beautiful, right? Continues the chinuch. Umbitchilas b'riyas ha-olam yiado v'kidso l'kach. From the beginning of creation of the world, He has designated and sanctified it for that purpose. It's not just Hashem swore to it there should be a Yom Kippur so that the averus should not accumulate over a number of years, but Hashem already proclaimed this day to be for this mission. After Hashem has designated that day as kapara, this kadesh hayom, the day has been sanctified, the kibel korach haschus meito yisale, and it received the power from Hashem asu misayer bekapar, that it itself contributes to the kapar. The zel amram zechon mevacha ba'ad mekomos v'yom ha'kipur mechaper sheyesh korach liyom ba'atzmo bekapar b'averos kalos. In other words, we say yom ha'kipur mechaper. That's ba'yom hazeh. The day itself is the mechaper. It's a machaper of karbanos. It's a machaper of a chetza of the yom. You don't usually think of time in that way, but that's what it is. It's like a reality in its own right. It's almost like you could touch it. Rabbi Kiva uses the image of tahara, like a mikvah. You go into the mikvah, it's like you're totally enveloped by what you're in, by the water. So you can almost touch it. You feel like you're enveloped. That's what Yom Kippur is. There's a character of the day, there's a kedusha sayom that is filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So that alone, the contact that a person has with that chetza of the day, with what it is, that creates kapara. The dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could almost say the mikvah of Yom Kippur is ki'ilu kaviyachal, we're being toivo, we're being coming into contact with kaviyachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of life, and that alone is the power that allows for the kapara. So it's a very, very profound idea. We have to obviously in our own way bring it down to earth, not just be stuck up, just to recognize it, but it's important to recognize that alone, that there's a koach in the day itself. Obviously that has to mean practically, that we should every every day we should be zahir in what we say and what we do and so on, but even more so Yom Kippur. Even something simple like a sichas chulin on Yom Kippur, it's not appropriate unless it's necessary. In other words, it may not be Lashon Hara, but it's not in the character of the day. Every second, every minute is precious. What is necessary is necessary. But, you know, it can be trying sometimes, being in shul all day, and especially, you know, if you're not, you know, it takes a toll, and it's, you know, it's part of what the inui of the day is about. But recognize that all that is for the sake of something, to aspire for something greater than ourselves. So we recognize the basic kedusha sayom, the essence of it. That's one idea. The simcha of sukkis clearly has connection to Yom Kippur. Simcha of sukkis could have been, as the Torah asks, could have been in Nisan when they left Mitzrayim. So why sukkis in Tishrei? So the Torah says the reason he gives, so it should be more nikkur, that's l'shem Hashem. Otherwise, in springtime, people anyway go out and eat outdoors in a sukkah. So we want to show it's l'shem Hashem. But it's also clear that the simcha of sukkis is that simcha that we describe in the tefillos of Yom Merayim, Uvechein, Sadikim, Yiru, V'Yismachu, V'Shar Nalozu. It's the simcha of destruction, eradication of evil. It's that simcha really that really expresses what Yom Kippur couldn't fully express on the outside, because at the same time that it's the greatest day of simcha, it's also the Yom HaDin, and part of the experience of Yom HaDin is the sense of Eima. It's part of how we're supposed to approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the idea of tshuva is to be broken, so we can't fully express the simcha that's filled in this day, that fills the day of being the Fnei Hashem. So Sukkis gives us the opportunity to express the depth of the simcha of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has that same simcha too. There's a Russian of the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Perek Aleph. Yomim Yitzor V'lo Echad Behem, Yom HaKippurim Shel Simcha Gidol L'Pnei Mish'am V'haya Olam, Shel Nifnu Ba'av Rabba L'Yisrael. It's a day of simcha. But again, the simcha doesn't have the full expression because of the character of Yom Kippur as the Yom HaDin, and how we have to prepare for it in the tshuva. Sukkis is expressing that. And that's where you'll find so many remezim in Sukkis that have to do with the biur hara, destruction of evil, eradicating evil. Whether it be remezim such as the Mechemes Gog u'Magog that we read in Haftorah of Sukkis in Zechariah, whether it be the symbol of sukkah being that Olam Hazeh is temporary because Olam Haba is the eternal world, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sit ultimately with sukkahs Olam Shalav Yasan, or whether it be Hoshana Rabbah and how it represents again the day of maybe the battle of Gog u'Magog also, and how the Shivim Parim, the Umos HaOlam have a role, have a place. Those who are supportive of Kal Yisrael, certainly We have an appreciation. We even read about Ninveh's tshuva because we recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu's brachma v'kol ma'asav. But at the same time, there's also a certain element within Umos HaOlam that represents Ra. Amalek, of course, is the fullest manifestation of that. But to some extent, whatever element of Ra exists, we say, you know, somehow can, you know, ultimately has to be destroyed. That's the sense of the hakafis that we do over Sukkis, no shanis. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says this in Kara Kemach, and it's one of the svarim, that the idea of going around the Mizbeach seven times and the Shana Rabbah is the idea of the ultimate eradication of evil. The Gemara says that the parim of Sukkis are poches v'holech, because the Umos HaOlam, again, in the sense of Ra, are ultimately going to be depleted. Ki b'chol ha'goyim, that's the pasuk esekola, the Kar Yisrael are eternal, and the essence of Ra in the world, which again, to the extent that that is distributed among Umos HaOlam, that will ultimately come to an end. And that's why we have the notion of 70 of Kar Yisrael, which are keneged the Shiv Umos HaOlam, the pasuk in Hazinu, that says, there were 70 nations, and the 70 Shivim Nefesh in Kar Yisrael. I believe that's why we have a tremendous parallel that you will notice between the seventh day of Pesach and the seventh day of Sukkis. The seventh day of Pesach is Kriyas Yamsuf. The seventh day of Sukkis is Hoshana Rabbah. The notion of Mechemes Gog u'Magog is connected to Hoshana Rabbah, and that's a battle. A battle, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes our cause and battles for us. We have to do almost nothing. Kadosh Baruch Hu does his thing. and he's saving us. And so it was with Kriyas Yamsuf, that Hashem Yilachim Lachem Atem Tachavishim. The battle, just like in Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's a remez to the ultimate Geula. So within Kriyas Yamsuf Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's a remez to the ultimate Yeshua of Gog Magog. So again, all these ideas are very, very lofty. You should be aware. Yom Kippur is a lofty day, and Sukkot is an extension of that loftiness. The extent that Yom Kippur is a day of the Satan is no power, to that extent, the Simcha of Chag HaSukkos is an expression of the Simcha of eradicating evil. We can turn this off for a second. I'll just say something else. Okay, everybody, let's begin.